You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It's Monday, December the 23rd, 2 days before that festival honoring the birth of this great man. I'm speaking, of course, of Gravmass and Isaac Newton. In the studio today, we have Jesse Maxwell on
Hello.
CKMS Community Connections. Jesse, hit the tunes.
There we go. This first song is called Colossal, which is my last released single.
Say it's me and I won't ask twice. Am I hallucinating till I'm in withdrawal? Am I to play a fool until the curtain calls? Are you telling me something that I don't already know? And are you taking my ankles along with the undertow? Well, we're done stopping for you. We got love that's long overdue. We can't stop thanking the Lord that we woke up feeling reborn. We're done stopping for you. We got love that's long overdue. And we can't stop thanking the Lord that we woke up. Girl, move your hips when you feel the beat. I stumble the castle in my two left feet. This world's too big for a lost soul. When did monogamy turn to a fossil? You got delays till your plane take off, and you got CZs in your old fake watch. See the city lights, so you won't stay far. You're just a city girl, and you just break hearts. Well, we're done stopping for you. We got love that's long overdue, and we can't stop thanking the Lord that we woke up feeling reborn. We're done stopping for you. We got love that's long overdue, and we can't stop thanking the Lord that we woke up. So tell me, am I too smart for my own good mental? I just wanna do what's experimental. Leave the premise of the world we're set in. See territories of a new dimension. A little birdie told me I was destined to reach stars. I don't need your blessing. The magic mirror said he's one to trust. So we unapologetically are staying us. Cause we're done stopping for you. We're done stopping for you. We're done stopping for you. We got love that's long overdue. We can't stop thanking the Lord though we woke up feeling reborn.
That's nice. I like that.
Thank you.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
You came in from Toronto today?
I did.
Yeah. Your bio says you were born in Toronto.
Yes, born and bred.
But you've been all over the world.
You know what? I do like to travel. I have definitely moved a few times. I was living in Montreal for a little bit. I just came back from about almost 2 years in Brooklyn, New York. Uh-huh. But I always come back to Toronto.
I always come back to Toronto. Where's the music scene better, Brooklyn or Toronto?
It's different, but they're both great, though. Like, that's what I'm really happy about, is, like, Toronto actually has a really great music scene. Uh-huh. Brooklyn, of course, like, New York has off-the-charts music scene, and it seems like it's everywhere, but there's a lot of it in Toronto, and I think it's highly appreciated, which I really like.
And what do you do differently when you're in Brooklyn compared to when you're in Toronto? Same do you perform the same songs? Do you write the same type of music? I mean, I have this impression of Brooklyn as this destitute urban wasteland.
In a way, yes, it is. It's kind, I mean, for me, it's the same, but I really started writing while I was in Brooklyn. Uh-huh. And there was something about the vibe of it that just I really connected with. I was able to write, like, over 100 songs. And like, that's all I was doing. Really? Yeah, that's all I was doing was, I mean, obviously, you know, making friends and doing things and going to work. But like, making music was the thing I was really in it for.
Yeah.
So it was a lot. So, and it really harbored that creativity. But I think I was able to take that back with me in Toronto, because that's something I was nervous about too. Like, if you're in a certain place at a certain time and you're just in that headspace and then you have to switch it up, like, is it going to be the same? Am I going to have the same type of outcome and creative outlets and stuff like that? But it seemed to stay the same, which is good.
Yeah, the amount of the output.
Yes, totally.
The qualitative feel of it is different.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some differences. I will say my studio setup in Toronto is way better than it was in Brooklyn, because I moved back into my dad's place, and in the basement, it's all carpeted. So I have like a room where I've set up like the table and the monitors and the studios, and the sound is great. And like, so it's definitely different. Whereas like in Brooklyn, I was working in this like tiny little room that was like wooden floor. So everything was echoing.
Not unlike our studio here.
You guys have a good setup. You guys have the sound blockers there. That's all good.
Yeah, a little bit of sound absorbent stuff on the wall.
Yes, but exactly. It's, that helps a lot.
This is no recording studio, let me tell you that.
Definitely would be a step up from what I was doing in Brooklyn.
And you've been to other places too than Brooklyn and Toronto. I heard something about Haiti someplace.
About Haiti?
Did I?
I've never been to Haiti.
Never been to Haiti.
Although that would be very interesting. We used to travel a lot. I've been to certain, like a lot of places on vacation and just exploring, but never to live though.
Okay.
Although Haiti would definitely be on the list.
Okay. I wonder where I got that from. Some stray thought that's...
I'll take it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Island of Hispaniola is a nice place.
Yes, I hear so as well.
Yeah. So having come from Brooklyn, coming back to Toronto, do you have any other plans for traveling in the future?
Probably not. No. I mean, I...
Touring
would be great. That's definitely next on the list. I've like started to get a band together, and they're like so great.
Yeah.
Super talented group of musicians, and just like overall nice people, so that makes it even more awesome.
The Jesse Maxwell Band, or does it have another name?
You know what, that's funny, because they were trying to figure out like what we should call it. Now on Spotify I'm under Jesse Maxwell, so I don't want to change that.
No.
But they can come up with a cool band name.
Okay.
That's always a great idea. So we'll see if that happens. But definitely touring, like Canadian or U.S. tour would be great. Down the line, European tour would be awesome. So we'll see. Yeah. Hopefully we get there.
Promotional stuff I got from a company called Transfat.
Yes, that's my record label.
That's your record label.
Yes.
Said something about you having a band in Brooklyn as well.
Yeah, so that band out there was Queens County Roots. They're a blues rock band. I actually wasn't the lyricist of that. I was the frontman.
Oh, okay.
The lyricist, Marlon Hurt, so talented. He's actually the reason why I started writing music in the first place, because I was able to like see his creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And he like everything he wrote just made so much sense. And it just inspired me to start writing. But they were great. I was with them for like 2 years, and I really miss them. We still chat all the time. We're actually putting out some songs soon, even though I'm here and we've moved on. But we still had stuff that we went to the studio with, so it's nice that we're still in contact for sure. But they're great.
Do they tour around here?
No, they actually haven't. They're a pretty local band, but they gig a lot, and we had some really fun gigs. We played at some really iconic places, and like the last gig we had was at Pianos in Lower East Side in New York.
Okay.
Great venue. Okay, well, it's a great venue. It is, totally. But yeah, they're all great, and yeah, super talented. If anyone's listening and likes blues rock, listen to Queens County Roots. 100%.
If they have stuff online?
They do. They have stuff on Spotify and Apple Music and Bandcamp and all that stuff.
Then I shall ensure that gets into our digital music library and give them a bit of airplay as well. You know,
if
you should ever happen to be in the area, you know, come into our little cramped studio.
And absolutely. I'm sure they would love that.
Hello. Yeah. Blues rock is not what you were playing just now.
No.
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 You have a What genre is Jesse Maxwell?
I like singing blues rock. I think that there's many different forms of Jesse Maxwell that the world is kind of yet to see. Like, the last three singles that I've released have all kind of been in the same vibe. They're different, but I think they stay in this. You could put them on a playlist and they would flow.
Okay.
And I think that there are different genres lately, especially that I've been kind of messing around with. There's been a lot of like experimental alternative R&B stuff that I'm really digging. Just trying to like push the envelope and like see what's there in the brain, what I could actually do.
How much of that is ready for production and release?
Some of it is ready. I mean, I've been lately producing all my own stuff, but on the album that's coming called Radio Silence, it was co-produced by myself, but also by Trans Fat Records. Mm-hmm. It was Astral 22 and Top Notch Beats, who are so talented. Mm-hmm. And there is definitely some hints of it on there. There's a song called Dreams on there that's definitely...
Okay. On Astral the sitting in the room next to us?
No, that's actually okay. My dad and my brother who came along today. Yes, okay. Very exciting.
I'll have to say hello to them in a bit.
Yes, definitely.
Got something else queued up for us, Jesse?
Yes, I do.
All right.
What should I play next? Okay, this is going to be Life on the Rocks, which was my second single released. So I hope you enjoy.
We've played Life on the Rocks from our digital music library. So here we get the live edition from Jesse Maxwell here at CKMS Community Connections on FM 102.7.
Hand me the poison in my cup. You know I'm not poised when I'm in my cup. What's the point? My day's been dark, and I've just brought you down this far. But you just gotta simmer it down when the tea's trickling down. You just gotta figure it out, but I'm here if you're letting it out. So you just gotta simmer it down when the tears, you just gotta figure it out. But I'm here if you're letting it out. Cause you're an open sea to sail. When I be falling, when I be falling for your breeze. And I'll be as dead as a doornail. When I be falling, when I be falling to my knees. Get what I want when I want and I want you, dear. I get what I need and I know that I need you here. I know that you would rather touch the sky, but life on the rocks has been taking up all my pride. And I know that the poison takes control. And I'll take a bottle in my hand and you to hold. What's the point? My night's been cold. My sun don't shine, but you were once all painted in gold. And you just gotta simmer it down when the tears. And you just gotta figure it out. But I'm here if you're letting it out. So you just gotta simmer it down when the tears trickling down, and you just gotta figure it out. But I'm here if you're letting it out. Cause you're an open sea to sail. When I be falling, when I be falling for your breeze. And I'll be as dead as a doornail. When I be falling, when I be falling to my knees.
Jesse Maxwell live in the studio at CKMS Community Connections.
There we go.
Thank you, Jesse. Sounds a bit different from the recorded version.
Definitely. I wanted to do things a little bit more stripped back today. Just me and the keyboard. But it definitely adds a different vibe. And I think that that's a mark of, you know, it's great when you can add cool production into a song and make it sound all wild. But if you can strip it down and sing it with a piano or with a guitar and it still sounds great, that's what the goal is.
Yeah, I've heard that before. You know, if you can play it both with a full band, overdubs, recording, and everything, and it still sounds good in a live performance with just an acoustic guitar, or in your case, a single keyboard.
Exactly.
You've done something right about writing the songwriting music.
Thank you. Yeah, that's definitely the goal. I mean, I think, and especially it adds a different vibe to the song. Mm-hmm. That song really on the studio version is a lot more upbeat. It's has these bright, airy synths and stuff like that. But when you strip it down, you kind of can understand the message of it a little bit more.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Where did the message come from?
The message came from, I talk a lot about mental health and addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Just in my life, I'm very, I was affected by it personally. I had gone through an addiction of drugs. And so me writing and doing all this stuff creatively is the opposite of that for me. And I've been able to be sober because of it. And yeah, so the message of Life on the Rocks is really, I mean, there's certain lines that will definitely give it away, but one of the lines about how I'll take a bottle in my hand than you to hold, where this person I'm portraying is would rather take a drink than show love to their loved one. So that's kind of the message of the song. And I mean, I was very proud when I figured out the title Life on the Rocks, because I think that that's smart and nobody else had done it. Okay. So I was like, knew it. That's great.
How did you come to the realization that the music was a good substitute for drugs, alcohol, addiction?
I think in general it is. I think it's still an addiction. But it's a healthy type of addiction. I know that I'm just that type of person with an addictive personality. And so I'll use that in a positive way. Whereas to create is a lot more positive than self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there. I think the word addiction is more of an action. But there's negative connotations connected
sure
with it.
Whole bunch of stigma associated with addiction. A lot of
people
don't want to admit to it, you know, that you're coming out here on the air and telling us about that. I think sets a good example for people who might not be able to deal with it well on their own.
I hope it is. I for me, it's so important that we just talk about it more and take away the stigma, because it's really not needed. And it's a disease at the end of the day. So, yeah. And I think a lot of people associate it with some criminal activity, and it's looked down upon rather than this is someone who is sick and we can help them make them better. But it's definitely important to me, if I can leave people with one impression, is to talk about that and make it a conversation that we can do something about it and not freak out at the word, more just look at how we can associate it to better things. So like, yeah, the connotation is bad. The word addiction, I don't think is bad, but I think it's used in bad scenarios, but it can be put to good use.
It has a lot of baggage on it. So,
it does.
So when you're broaching the subject with someone, how do you not run into the barrier where people want to avoid talking about things like addiction, mental health?
People do. I talk about it anyways.
Okay.
Because it's
the issue.
Exactly. Like, to me, it's important. I mean, like, I think that there's a lot of people who are still uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this maybe sounds mean, but that's their problem. For me, if it's my job and my duty to make people known about it, and drop this uncomfortability around the subject, that's what I'm here to do for people. A lot of the times, and you know, maybe, yeah, I can be in someone's face and annoying, but if it's important to me, and especially if that person's uncomfortable, I feel like there's something wrong with that. Which is why I will broach it.
So the world anyway. Needs to be changed, and you're doing it
100%.
One friend at a time.
There you go.
Yeah. Can you tell us how you got into that situation in the first place, and then what process led you to recognize that this was not the way you wanted to live your life and pulled out of it again?
That's a very loaded question. I mean, I think that there's a lot of elements that made me see that it was something I didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard when you're in that place to understand what's actually going on, who you're affecting, how you're affecting them, how you're affecting yourself. But I started when I was younger. I think I was just lost a little bit and confused and wanted to find my place or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I seeked. And I remember when I tried it, you know, all these different drugs, and it was in my head, oh, this is how I've been wanting to feel, which was really just numbing things out and not dealing with it. Yeah. And that's how a lot of it starts. And I think I was a little bit prone to it, just in ways. I think everyone is a little bit. If you know, like, there was some addiction in my family, and there was some demons that I hadn't worked out yet, and I was young and I didn't know what to do with it, and I had a lot of energy as a kid. Like, I was diagnosed with ADHD, like a lot of children are today.
Yeah.
And I think that it was just this hyperactive mind that, like, didn't know what to do with itself. So I started dabbling in it, and it turned into a very serious addiction. I went to rehab a bunch of times. I did everything that I could. Nothing seemed to work. I think the pivotal moment was just realizing, and there was a few, but really just realizing that I wasn't present for things that I wanted to be present for. And important things, important life things that you talk about when you're older, and I just wasn't mentally there for them. So I think that kind of woke me up. And I think after enough times of that, I was like, all right, I'm done missing things, because I just want to be there. And, like, I still, you know, as much as people want to throw shame on addiction, like, I still had a good heart. And so I knew that there was something wrong, but I just didn't really know what to do about it. So there was a lot of intervening from friends and family and trying to do something. And that helps slightly. Mm-hmm. In the grand scheme of things, but I think in the moment I didn't want to hear it.
Exactly. I think you have to be ready for that, because otherwise it's
yes,
just additional burden from the stuff you're trying to escape in the first place.
It is, and it can be overwhelming, and I think, I mean, in general, people's pride come into play, and no one rarely wants to know that they're doing wrong or they're messing up, and I think, and especially in this situation where someone is so fragile, that it's hard to hear, so you kind of just push everything away. So it took a lot of tries. It took me almost 2 years to get totally sober, but now I've been sober for almost 4 years.
Excellent.
Thank you, which is so great. It's so dope. I love being sober. Yeah. It's just, like, it's so productive, and, like, I have friends, and I'm, like, contributing and have a job, and it's just, like, and creating music. Like, it's just, there's endless things that you can do if you can get to that point. So that's why, like, to me, this has changed my life 180.
Yeah.
And if it was so effective on myself, that's why I feel the need to help, or potentially help, for other people. Because it can just make the world of a difference, and you don't realize it when you're in it.
Yeah.
Because the world is just darkness.
Oh, that sort of was what you were trying to accomplish, you know, tuning out the world through the drugs. And so, of course, you're not going to recognize the things that can lift you out when you're in that state. You mentioned rehab. You said you went through a couple of bouts of rehab.
I did.
That didn't help you.
No. Well, I don't want to say no, but I think a lot of it was just accumulative too. Like, I don't think I was ready, but, like, they plant little seeds in you, in your brain.
Uh-huh.
And so you hear them and you're like, I'm not going to use this information. And then when you're ready, you use that information without even realizing. I had went in, I think I did 3 or 4 stints of rehab, mm-hmm. was kicked out of all of them.
Wow.
Just was like, it was very messy. Possible. It was messy. it was a lot. But they're smart the way they do that. Like, they really push certain buttons so that you'll understand things. I think it's, you know, if anyone is suffering, that's what I would say to do. Even though it didn't help me on the first time, but, like,
Go to rehab.
Like, there's things that are more powerful than yourself that you can't achieve.
Did you go to a particular facility for rehab?
I did. I went to Bellwood in Toronto, uh-huh. and then I went to Andy's house in Montreal.
Oh.
And then I went to a detox in Toronto.
And how do you find these places?
You kind of find them online, through friends of parents and stuff like that. I think, I'm pretty sure my dad and mom found out about Bellwood through somebody.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But they're good. Like, if you call them up, and there's, like, many hotlines and stuff, but you can actually just, like, call the places and, like, ask questions. They're very helpful.
There's very likely a rehab place in Kitchener-Waterloo as well.
Okay, so yes.
I will hit the Googles and add those to the show notes for those listeners who may want to avail themselves of those services.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. There's always help if you want it. You just have to want it.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so reaching out, calling the number from the rehab center, asking how to go about doing that from those professionals, and then getting on that road. And as you've pointed out, one go at it may not be enough. You may need to make several attempts. You may not be ready the first time.
That's very common. Yeah, it's definitely not a linear process. I mean, apparently it takes people many times. It took me incredibly a lot amount of times. But if you are persistent, anything can happen for sure. Yeah. But you also have to be lucky, and you have to want it, and you have to work. And it's like, it's not something that's easy. If you're used to living a certain way and someone is saying to you, you have to change your whole entire life now and the way you do things and how you wake up in the morning and how you go to bed, that's super challenging to do.
I'll bet.
So it's something you have to want and work for hard, but the help is always there.
Help is there. And for you, a phone call away.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you hit sobriety.
Yes.
What was the first thing you produced musically?
I started making music, I think, while I was like a year and a half sober. It was like the first time I really started.
Oh, that long.
Yeah. Oh. I was doing a bunch of covers before. I think I had like 300 covers in my GarageBand.
Oh, wow.
It was just like that was all I was doing. The first thing, I actually know what it is. There was some, obviously, when you're starting out, it's hard to write every single song good. You don't have your way of words and your rhythms and your melodies yet. But the first song I ever wrote was called Lost, which is a great song. It's not on the album that's coming out, but I've started to play it with my band. Uh-huh. And I had just gone back and actually like reproduced it and like made it sound great. I put this massive horn section on it.
Oh.
And I love it. It's so
brass
dope.
Brass horns or synth horns?
Well, synth brass horns.
I shouldn't be giving away secrets.
There is so much you can do synthesized nowadays. Yeah. And it's like, and the better I get too, like I'm able to make them sound as real as possible. So it's kind of the future of music, which is weird to say, but like, if I think about, you know, the amount of time, people, money that would take to record that section live rather than I can just input it on a computer. Now, if you have the means for it, and there is something to say about recording things live, there's just a different sound, and there's nothing like it exactly. But if you're someone like me who does all their music in their basement on a computer, like that works pretty well. You just have to know how to do it.
Can I put you on the spot?
Yes.
Do you have Lost in your repertoire today?
I don't, but I can.
If you want to give it a shot, I think.
I'm down.
We'd love to hear that.
All right. Yeah. Let's do that.
Jesse Maxwell in the studio, CKMS FM 102.7. This is CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. His name is Jesse Maxwell, and he's about to play the first song that he wrote, composed after becoming sober again. Go ahead, Jesse.
All right.
Hit the tunes.
Rubbing off
a free bird, babe, but I don't think I can flee. Yeah. And I'm a free bird too, but I stick to her like glue. I'm gonna stop it there because there's something wrong with my pedal.
Oh dear.
That's Lost.
Lost by Jesse Maxwell, one of the first, well, the first composition that he came, when he came out of sobriety. This is CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman, Jesse Maxwell in the studio doing some live performances. Great to have you here, Jesse.
Thank you so much again for having me. This is so much fun.
Yeah. When you're composing, I've been asking all my guests this.
Okay.
What comes first, music or lyrics?
It's always different, depending on, like, there's some, I don't even remember. I think I started that song on the lyrics, but it's always different, really. Like, sometimes it starts with a riff, sometimes it starts with a chord progression, sometimes it starts with drums. That song in particular started with the lyrics, and then I didn't know what the instrumental was going to be like. And so I started that with a bass line and a hard drum beat, and that kind of carried the whole song, but it is different. There is no formula to making a song as best as possible. There's so many different routes you can take it. So, which is a blessing and kind of a curse at the same time, because it leaves room for so much creativity, and you can just start anywhere. But it's also like, if I am in a writer's block and I need to write something, like, there's not a specific way I could get out of it.
I'm really happy to hear there's no formula.
There's no formula.
can't be anything worse than people who just, you know, write by coloring in the blanks.
No, and that would be so surface, and I don't think that would get your best product. I think that it would just sound cookie cutter.
It would.
So, yeah.
But it makes the whole process of creativity take much, much longer then, doesn't it?
It doesn't. I've written some song. The next song I'm actually was going to play was called Average, which is from the new album. Took me 15, 20 minutes to write.
Really?
There's been some that take 2 months.
Okay.
So it really varies, but like, Some take really quick sometimes, especially if it's like, if you know that it's just flowing out and it makes sense, sometimes it can be very quick, although just sometimes it will take forever. There's no right way.
And when you've got this huge stroke of inspiration and it comes flowing out of you in like you say, 15 minutes, how do you get it all down? Do you write it down on paper? Do you record a track?
I have like 500 pages of notes in my phone. That it, like, wherever I am, and sometimes I'll just sit down and write it, but if I'm somewhere and I have an idea, or I'm like with, this is, I hate when I'm like with people and I have an idea and I'm like, I have to leave you for like 2 minutes and I have to get this all out before I forget it, because it will come if thoughts are fleeting, and like, if I don't write them down, I'm gonna lose them. So it's kind of wherever I am, I'll just have to like pause and just let it all out.
How much music have you lost that way?
Definitely some that, like, but I don't even remember, because now I can't remember what they are. Yeah. But I knew at the time,
problem,
but I knew at the time that they were good. I think there has been some occasions where I had like a, you know, a nice melody in my head, or like, the thing too is a lot of it is abstraction. So if I have an idea of what something should sound like, it's super random and displaced, and but in my head, it makes a lot of sense. But how I transcribe it out to words, or even if I'm like producing something and I want to make it sound a certain way, like sometimes I'm just limited and I can't make it sound exactly how I want it to sound in my brain. So there has been a lot of occasions where things change.
Just lack of the tools, lack of the proper instrumentation that prevents you from making it sound that way? Or is it something that is so unique in your head that it can't possibly be translated into physical corporeal being?
That's interesting. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of that, although I believe that if you can think something, your brain has taken it from somewhere, or not ripped it off, but like, if I hear a sound in my head, it's because I've maybe heard something or something like it before. And the, you know, a lot of online music creation, you can sound manipulate. And so I can really, if I take a certain sound, I can make it really sound however I need it to sound like. But sometimes I don't know how to get there. That's the thing. So it's maybe a little bit of that. But yeah. And I also think my brain hasn't put it together. Like if I'm hearing in my head this epic chorus, let's say, that I could create, I'm hearing it as a full final body of work rather than the little intricate details that make it that full body of work.
Yeah.
So that's
I've been told on occasion, oh, stop humming like that. And the problem there is that I can hear the entire orchestra, but you can just hear my humming.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all in there. Exactly. Yes.
So when you've composed something, do you go back and rework it later? Does it come out right the first time, or do you change how you see it?
Usually not. I make a lot of music like very late at night, and so I'll make it, go to bed, hear it the next day. I'm like, this is kind of trash. I need to redo it. But sometimes the night brings wonderful ideas, and I will create something that I don't have to touch up so much. Although very rarely will I make something in one session and never come back to it. Because there's always more I can either add or take away or change from it that will further the idea of what I'm trying to go for.
And is this just you living more life and adding to those older songs? Or is it something where you've got, you know, a new keyboard and now I can make this particular sound?
It's kind of both of those things combined. But the first thing that comes to mind was this song I had made. My aunt is a yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. And so she had asked me when I started writing music if I would make a song for her yoga class. So I did. And at the time I was like, this is it. Like, this is the greatest song. And the production was so great. And then I came back to it like 6 months later. I was like, what was I doing? Like, everything was like reverbed out and muddy. And like, then I sent her like another version. And I talked about that like, you know, with hard work, because I wasn't taught this in school or anything. Like, I was just learned this all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to, really see a difference in how I was creating and how I was making things sound a certain way. It just sounded more complete and professional, and
so rather than creative growth, this was learning the process of production, learning how the entire recording studio fit together, perhaps.
I'm also like, at the time I had, I think, a keyboard, just like a regular keyboard. Mm-hmm. But now I have a MIDI keyboard, which is super different and lovely, and it's more of like you electronically input information rather than just capture a live sound.
Okay.
So I can do much more with it. But everything, really, I mean, my voice sounded different, like the way I pronounced words and saying, and where the air was placed on the top of my mouth and stuff, like, which sounds silly, but like it makes a big difference in technique of singing, and like it was very different.
You mentioned the techniques. Have you had any professional
a little bit? I mean, I've been playing music and doing music things my whole life. So like, I started playing piano when I was 6 or 7. That's like all I wanted to do.
Okay.
And then I started doing musicals when I was like 13 or 14, and they taught you a lot of like how to properly sing, how to properly act and dance and stuff like that. And then I kind of just like did my own thing with it and afterwards, and then went back before I moved to New York and had some vocal lessons, maybe like eight to 10 sessions, but that was it.
Sometimes that makes all the difference, right?
Yes, it does, totally. But a lot of it was just me absorbing everything he was saying, because I had never heard about, like, you do it, but you don't realize, like, when you're singing, okay, or even when you're talking. And I know that I sing differently than how I talk because I'm focused on certain things of technique. Whereas, like, if you're chatting, you don't think about those things. Yeah. You don't think about where is my air coming from? Is it coming out of my nose or my mouth? Or am I lifting the roof of my mouth and behind? Like, you don't think of those things.
I find in regular conversation, I speak in a monotonous tone of voice. When I'm behind the microphone, you know, there's exactly. the dynamics and frequency that you don't get when you're just in conversation. Completely different. Yeah.
Well, a lot of it is just being aware of it too. Like even, and I take this as an example, a lot of the times the way people stand, and I do the same thing, I don't have good posture if I'm just not thinking about it. But the second that you're thinking about it, you're standing up straight, your shoulders are back. Yeah. It's the same thing with singing, or if you're talking on a radio show or anything like that, where you're built to do something a certain way. Okay. Otherwise, you're not thinking about it as much.
Yeah. What's your instrumentation like? Keyboard is it, or do you play other instruments too?
Keyboard is it. Yeah. Well, live instruments. Yeah. The beauty of electronically inputting instruments is I can make any sound in the world. So technically, we can play every single instrument. But no, a keyboard is where it's it for me. I've always wanted to pick up guitar because I was always jealous that if I had something to do with my keyboard, I had to lug this 80-pound keyboard on my back, and guitar is just...
Yeah, quite the scramble setting up here in the studio, so I...
Yes, exactly.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
You said you had something else queued up for us?
Yes, okay, so this is my my song Average, which is on Radio Silence, which is dropping soon. I don't know when, but it's soon. But yeah. This is the one that I had wrote very quickly. Actually, it's funny. Before I play this too, I'll say, when I had first wrote this song, I was working with these certain people in the industry, and they loved it. And I had sent it to all, you know, some people that I know, and everyone loved it. And I hated it. I thought it was so simple, and the fact that it took me 15 minutes, I think as artists, we try to do things sometimes very complex so that people can appreciate all the hard work that was put into it and the lyric play and all this stuff, where there's a lot of power and simplicity. And I think that this was something that everybody could connect to. So, and now I love it. Now I'm proud of it. But I think at the time I didn't get it. So anyways, this is Average. This is the opener to Radio Silence.
This might actually be the single coming off the album.
Oh, it definitely
is. That's Jesse Perez at CKMS Community Connections playing Average from the new Radio Silence album to be released when, Jesse?
Yes.
Coming out in weeks, months?
Coming out in... Let me speak into this guy. Coming out in probably April, March or April is the goal. We're going to do a big campaign for it and all this stuff, but stay tuned. I'm very excited for this project to come
out. Excellent. Average, Jesse Maxwell.
Remember when you said you were gonna try? There's some things the money just can't buy. No one else can do it like you do. Was it too hard to love this fool? I don't care if you're a college dropout, you never drop by anymore. I see you working on your average lately. You were never just an average lady. I'll be all yours. And I guess I'll just chat with myself up to the late night. My bed looks strange when you're not inside. No one else really knows me like you do. No one's taking walks for miles in my shoes. Well, maybe it's time that I discover. I don't care.
college dropout, you never drop by anymore. I see you working on your average lately. You were never just an average lady. I'll be all yours. And the world gets cold when you're a lone wolf. It may not freeze me, but being a lone wolf, 'cause no one else will ever love me like you do. And I see your face when I'm having deja vu. I'm not feeling love. I can't feel your love. I'm just not feeling love. Just let me feel your love. I don't care if you're a college dropout, you never drop by anymore. I see you working on your average lately. You were never just an average lady. I'll be all yours. And I don't care, but you never drop by anymore.
Jesse Maxwell, Average from the new release.
Yes. We're very excited for that one to come out.
You're right. That was a nice, simple tune.
Right.
Lots of stuff in there. And you did it all in 15 minutes.
Yes. Like things like that. Which is, I mean, for me now, which is one of my favorite songs that I've written. Mm-hmm. Usually great things will happen fast like that. And good things take time. I don't know where I heard that from, but that's from somewhere. But it's so true. Like, there's nothing about that song that's over the top or, you know, very crazy with the wordplay, other than the chorus. Like, that there was some wordplay in there that, again, just, like, flowed out super quick.
Requires re-listening
exactly
to catch all that.
It was like a cute song that just really worked, and I think it sets the tone really well for the album.
Right.
But yes, I'm very super excited about that. Yeah. Coming out. That's going to be the single that's probably dropping in February.
Okay. Send us a studio produced copy and we will stick it on rotation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When you do go on tour,
album
release followed by a tour, that's how it usually goes, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. You'll have a backing band. Or are you going to be going solo?
No, we're going to do it with the full band for sure. Yeah.
And how does that change the way that the music comes out?
I can't
imagine Average done with a full backing band, you know, guitars and
drums. Oh, it's beautiful.
A horn section and a few saxophones on the side.
It's so beautiful with the full band.
Does it lose the simplicity?
Yes and no. I mean, I think, like, it's little things of how you work with a band rather than solo. Like, when I'm playing alone, it's more percussive. Whereas if I'm playing with a band, there's not so many beats I'm hitting. It's more of just like letting chords ring out and filling out the sound. But,
because you've got the band to do that for you.
Yeah, exactly. But it has, I mean, what's crazy is that like everyone in the band has has adjusted so well to capturing the vibe of this music, especially this song, because again, yeah, I was nervous. Like, there's some of the songs that we've been playing that are more energy and they require, you know, big drums and big guitar sounds and bass. And I'm big on like bass lines. So there's a lot of that, but something like this we had tried and I was like, I don't know if it's going to sound so good. And maybe it's like too emotional and like no one's going to like it. but they love it, and they've been able to like really capture the vibe of it, and like everyone is just like playing softly, but it works, and like it sounds so great. So I'm really excited about playing.
So you've
with
been practicing already. I guess for the album, for the CD, you'll have the full backup band there too. What's your lineup? How many members? Who are they?
So we have a bassist, mm-hmm. Justin. There's a drummer, Lucas, and there is a guitarist, Andreas. Mm-hmm. And then there's me playing keys and singing. And then there's two backup vocalists, Jamila and Samaza. And everyone is super talented. When I was thinking of doing this, it was just going to be a 4-piece band. Uh-huh. And it was already sounding great, but I was like, you know what? Like, for me, I'm a vocalist. I love more than anything making vocal arrangements. So I would love to get two backup singers. And yes. Like, that adds so much, and they're so talented.
And that's something you can't put on a synth, is it?
No. And yeah, it's just like, it's so great. And like, for some reason, our voices sound really nice together. It just like works. Like, everything is just come together really nicely, which is great. I'm super grateful for it.
So when the robot apocalypse comes and we're all out of work, the backup singers will still have employment.
Exactly. We always need backup singers. Yeah. But it really just adds so much. Like, if you're there's nothing more I love more than harmonies. So mm-hmm. It just like really, I'm obsessed with it. It sounds so good.
Yeah. You have gigs in the future? Something coming up?
At the moment, no, because, I haven't planned. I mean, absolutely, yes, once we're ready and we're going to plan an album release show, but I don't know mm-hmm. where it's going to be. But I just moved back to Toronto in October.
From Brooklyn.
Wow. So it's been really just about getting everyone up to speed and, like, if we can play as a live band, if we can go through a set. And I think that there's a bunch of things that we could do before a big show. But the big show will be the album release coming up probably, hopefully in like April, depending on how everything goes.
Right. And, how do you go about finding the gigs, booking the venues?
I'm not totally sure. I mean, if you know people, that's a great way to do it. So, and I know, and I have some like direct contacts and people, friends of friends who, are bookers and stuff like that. But, there's certain places that I would like to play at that I don't really know anyone there, so we'll see. I'm gonna go and give a demo and send a video and maybe bombard a little bit respectively until they let us play. We'll see how it goes.
That's a lot of extra work that takes away from writing music, playing music.
It does. I mean, it is.
The business of the business.
That's something recently that I've been really trying. Actually, my dad, who's here today, me and him have been like teaming up recently because he's a business guy and I'm not a business guy, and I'm the art guy. So we've been like using our brains together, and like we'll go to meetings together, and he'll like read my emails before I send them to like proofread because you know, we can't
sure
look unprofessional.
As Jesse Maxwell, the professional musician.
Exactly.
Jesse Maxwell, the guy who's looking to find a new gig.
the one who can't write emails. It's been a lot of work. And it's something that I've recently I had a meeting with someone that was basically telling me, this is not a hobby. You have to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And that was interesting to me. And I think, and there was also this thing I read that was so, I don't know why I never thought of it like this, but if someone wants to be a doctor or a lawyer, they go to school and they do their due diligence. So if you want to be a musician or an artist, you can't just wait around and expecting to be discovered, because doctors are not waiting around to just randomly get a job. You have to go and work for it.
Right.
So it's the same principle. And that's kind of what has been guiding me to do it. And I think at times it gets overwhelming, but my mind is more on the end prize, which is good. So it keeps me going there.
On the other hand, I've heard a phrase, do what you can and buy what you can't. So, you know, buying the services of a promotional company, a booker, a somebody yes. To do all the work that isn't the creative part of making music. No, but of course, for that, there needs to be a revenue stream, which requires having
totally.
You booked gigs and...
it's kind of a chicken and egg
thing. Yeah, it is. It sure is.
But yeah, there's all... I mean, there's certain people that, like, you can't do... I mean, I can't... I don't know how to properly market this album, so I'm going to use a marketing company because they have ins at places. They know what to do, but it's my job to figure out which one is best for me and which one will cater to the right audience and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's definitely... a lot of work that you still have to do as the artist, but it's necessary. If you want your stuff to be heard, that's it has to take work.
And you've got to find the venues where the audiences are in tune with the type of music you're playing.
Totally.
Yeah, wouldn't want to go to a death metal venue for
exactly.
something like Average.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like it has to fit, and you have to know that like what you're doing is going to vibe with the people who they are marketing to. Yeah. That's just so important. And I think a lot of people will I've ran into a lot of not scams but people who will just more take your money so that they will say that they're going to market like you really have to do the research because if you're on a limited budget like you can't be throwing away money like you have to make so I personally go off of what people had told me about certain companies or recommendations and like that so far has worked out really nicely.
Well, you know, that's how the entire world rotates, you know.
Exactly.
Who you know.
Exactly.
For all those bookers, publishers, impresarios out there, where can they get a hold of you to put you into a place where you can play your music?
Well, let me tell you, on Instagram, it's Jesse Maxwell, JessesseMVXWELL. If you're wondering why it's not Jesse Maxwell, it's because someone has taken it, so we had to adjust.
There's another Jesse Maxwell
there's
out
someone
there.
Else, yeah. Not a singer, but someone. And that's pretty much where everyone can find me. And then on
Instagram
Spotify.
Is a place, huh?
Okay. Instagram, and if you want to listen to some of the stuff, Jesse Maxwell on Spotify. We have Blade, Life on the Rocks, Colossal, which is all produced by Top Notch Beast and Astral 22 from Transfat Records.
Yeah, I found Blade yesterday.
Yes.
Just scraping the internet to see if there's any other Jesse Maxwell material. Jesse Maxwell is a common name, and it's tough
it
to
is.
Find you, so it's a really great thing that you've put that V where the A should be.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think that it just makes it easier for people to search for sure.
So I'll have all those links in the show notes, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC.
Amazing.
Should have the podcast up in a couple of days. I think the live video is coming out rather well, so.
Amazing.
We'll have all that.
Okay.
We have about 3 minutes left. Something to take us out?
Yes, absolutely. I just want to thank you so much again for having me on. This has been so much fun. I hope everyone has a great day who has been listening.
Thank you very much, Jesse. Jesse Maxwell here in the studio at Radio Waterloo, CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. Jesse's going to play us out to the top of the hour. Yeah, if you want to do an instrumental thing, I can chat over top of it and ruin all the artistic vibe that you've put into it. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Jordan Dorans, Jeff Stager, Dylan Bravener. My name is Bob Jonkman. You can hear the second hour of CKMS Community Connections on Fridays at 2 o'clock to 3. I'll be back next week, Monday at 11 o'clock. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone, and we'll listen to Jesse Maxwell take us out on this Monday, December the 23rd.
Something better, stormy weather, and I think about you and I'm just trying to hold together. Broken pieces, as to keep it. Don't wanna stick around for those eternal feelings. So I'll wait here till the spring for when you come around. Drop the ball to me for when you fumble out. I'll sit listening close to the summer sound. To the summer sound. There's too many ways I could shut you out. Stuck in a haze when you live in doubt. Speaking nowadays when you shut your mouth.